Jimmy swung his Uzi off his shoulder and clicked to rapid fire. He pointed to the block, indicating that Jack take the building while he followed the shadow. It was as he did this that the shot whistled over their heads, the shadow suddenly bolting for the rear of the building. JB didn't hesitate. He took off at a full run, knowing that he was too far away to waste ammo on blasting at his target. It also registered somewhere in his mind that the shot over their heads sounded to him like a fairly heavy caliber hand blaster, a 44 or 45, but not a 357 Magnum like Jack's. That could be information worth storing for later. But right now, he had a quarry to pursue. Jack was also in pursuit of prey. Moving swiftly and close to the ground, the albino approached the open front of the building, using any darker patches of shadow cast by the moon's feeble light to hide himself. His dark camo pants and the patched jacket provided some degree of disguise, but his white mane and pale skin still gave him away. Coming around to the open door, he held his Colt Python blaster in his hand, gripping the butt tightly, with his index finger looped loosely around the trigger. Flattening himself to the outside wall, he ignored the sounds of JB's pursuit and concentrated on what he could smell or hear from within the building. It was almost silent. One sound could be heard. A light ticking noise, barely audible. But he was sure that the building was empty. The warm smell of danger and fear was absent. Jack entered the building, still cautious of any booby traps. Meanwhile, JB was chasing the lone saboteur across the dry earth. The man was tall and rangy, and his long strides carried him faster than JB, despite the armorer's strength and speed. JB cursed under his breath and lifted the Uzi. The movement disturbed his momentum, and he lost more ground. But it didn't worry him. There was no way he could catch up to the saboteur before he gained his wag, which had been parked to the rear of the buildings, leading off into the desert and the ribbon of old road that lay beyond. It was an old jeep, and would be swift across the desert, far swifter than their horses, even if they could have brought them nearer. There was only one course of action that the armorer could take. Dropping to one knee, he steadied the Uzi, using his knee to prop one elbow and take good aim. In the time it took him to do this, the saboteur had clambered into the jeep and fired the engine. He squeezed the trigger as the vehicle leapt into life and began to move across the land, a stream of bullets spitting from the muzzle of the blaster. The jeep was moving away fast, but not so fast that the shells didn't at least strike home. In the dark, the armorer had been trying to take out the rear tires of the vehicle, as he wanted to disable it and question the saboteur if possible. There were flickers of sparks in the darkness as bullets struck the rear of the wag and ricocheted harmlessly into the air. But neither tires nor tank was touched as the wag roared off into the night.
Dark night! Jack!
JB let the Uzi drop. One man may have gotten away, but did Jack need assistance? In the dark and stillness of the building, it took the remarkably honed senses of the albino little time to locate the ticking. It was muted because the source was a small cron attached to a package of Plasex that was hidden beneath a valve leading from one part of the system to another. Take out that valve and the piping system supplying the entire building would collapse from the shockwave, trashing the still not fully restored refining system beyond repair. The light was too dim to see the device fully, so Jack lit one of the lamps that had been left in the building when the day's work had concluded. Turning up the light and positioning it so that no shadow was cast over the immediate area, Jack could see that the device was not booby-trapped and had been hidden only to maximize its impact on the intended target. It was a simple timing device and had been set for 10 minutes to allow the saboteur enough time to make good his escape. JB's voice came from the doorway.
Jack? You okay in here? Bastard got away.
Left gift. Timer. Plasex. Only a few minutes.
The armorer came up to where Jack was crouched.
Want me to take a look?
The albino nodded, and JB knelt in front of the device, while Jack drew back to allow the armorer room to work. He also turned to stop the others from entering, as he could hear them approach. Having met up as they all made their way to the sound of the disturbance, they were clustered just outside the refinery block.
Take cover. Bomb.
Outside, glances were exchanged. Ryan nodded briefly at Jack and motioned the others to move back a little. Inside, the armorer was studying the bomb. He knew more than enough about the construction of timers and bombs to know that this was a crude but effective device. In truth, there was more than enough Plasex to do the job, and more worryingly, there were signs from an initial study that the wiring was crudely connected to the cron. There was every chance that the device may not go off on time. More alarmingly, it could be that the wires would short when he disconnected them because of the way they were fitted. Actually, disarming a bomb like this was simple, if it was well made. It was the crudity that made it dangerous.
Jack, get out and tell the others to take cover.
Sure?
Uh-huh. And hurry.
Without taking his eyes from the bomb, mentally dissecting every part of it to see if there were some flaw he could detect, JB listened while Jack left the building and relayed his message to the others. He heard them move back in the otherwise silent night, and only when their footfalls told of a sufficient distance did he move. His hands steady in the lamplight, JB took one of the wires joining the cron and the Plasex and straightened it out so that he could see how much slack he had to play with. 6 inches, and he could lay the wire on the flat metal surface of a valve plate. He then took his Technoknife and steadied the wire as it lay flat. This was something he had to do quickly and cleanly. He had no wire cutters, so he had to use the whetted blade of the Techno to slice through the wire in one swift cut. There would be no second chance, no opportunity to take a second cut. JB was suddenly aware of the quiet around him, and the sweat that was gathering on his forehead and running toward his eyes. It was now or never. With his jaw set so tight that he could feel his teeth grind together, JB sliced with the Technoknife.